At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu. At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. You can write it through the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email me your audio file. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you like this show and you'd like to keep it on the air, that's where you become an EPP, extra podcast person. You sign up over there at ghostpodcast.com. Get all the bonus material. And there's a bunch of other extras as well, depending on the level you want to sign up at. But it all starts over there at ghostpodcast.com. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hello.
How are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I am packaging up bunk bed bells.
I know, as we speak.
Literally, I have a whole stack that I need to get through over here because I've been kind of slacking on that over the holidays and whatnot, and I'm just trying to play catch up. And
yeah.
By the time you hear this, you'll probably have the bunk bed bell in hand that I'm about to send out, pending me being able to get it to a mailbox. right now, because it's the middle of a snowstorm. So as soon as I can physically get there, they will be going in the mail. They're all, as we get them, they come in this lovely little wrapping, so I have to unwrap every single one of them. And I've graduated to labeling the envelopes now with an actual, I print the label.
That's good. That way people can at least tell where it's supposed to go.
The post office can understand where it's supposed to be going to. Yeah. So I tried to do good with my handwriting when I used to fill them out. It's just, it saves more time when you just label it, copy, paste the address, and then, so there you go.
There you go.
It's shiny. It's like a big shiny stack of bunk bed bells right there. You know, like 30 of them out there. So far, I got to get 44 of them put out there.
Okay.
And I think I am out of this box. I have to go grab another box out of the closet. So I'll do that during the next call. It's the closet's right behind me, so I can hear. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at the program to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. Let me get our calls loaded up here so we can play them back and hear some of your ghost stories. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, I really like your show. This is the first time I'm calling in, so I'll try to do a decent job of giving you my story. I have many, many stories. Basically, I believe from my grandmother, she had gifts that, you know, psychic abilities, I guess you could say, that were passed down to her granddaughters, at least to me. I believe that the other ones probably have the same thing, but they just aren't, you know, noticing it. She used to be able to know when someone was going to die, and so it was nothing scary. You know, she'd tell her family if she had a dream that somebody was going to die, and they knew that they would die. So I don't have that gift, I'm happy to say. But I am sensitive in many different ways. So one of the ways I'm sensitive is I seem to notice occasionally, very, very occasionally, kind of like a pulling sensation as if some, I don't know what it is, but some force is telling me to do something or go somewhere, and it's like an emergency and I need to do it. And I won't know why, and I'll think it's just my imagination. And so I won't want to act on it, but since this has occurred a few times, and I'll either get information from possibly a deceased person, or, you know, whatever it is, I don't know. But it's happened so many times, you know, at least four, I guess, that I'm getting an idea that I should listen to it. The problem is, I don't know if I should, if it's a positive force or a negative force. So I don't know if I'm, you know, helping myself or other people if I listen, or if something bad's going to happen to me if I listen. So that's my problem. So in this case, this story took place in August 2009. I live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I was going through a divorce. I have a son, and we were in our first townhouse after the divorce and trying to get things all settled. And I pretty much, we had everything we needed. You know, we had done enough of our shopping, and we had enough from our old house that we could, you know, have a nice time there, even though we struggled. And so we, I'm sorry, I'm going to try not to make this too long, but for some reason, that night, you know, I had to work during the day, and, you know, I had my son at night, of course, you know, all day long, and at night, you know, I was the main caretaker. So I would normally never go out at night, unless there was a reason, you know, if I really needed something from the store, but I would do that on my way home. Well, this time I was home, and something was telling me, go, 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 go. And I'm like, trying to justify it. I'm like, well, why do I need to go? What do I need to go for? And then I like started telling myself, making up stuff like, oh, I must need groceries. Like, why do I need to go? I'm like, well, I obviously must need groceries. I'm going to look and see what I need. So I'm like, okay, well, I guess I need milk, and I guess I need this. So I'm like, okay, I'll go up the street to do that. Like negotiating with myself, which makes no sense. So I'm like listening to this urge, which was crazy. And I go, get in my car finally, start going up the street. I'm still second guessing myself, like, why am I doing this? What's going on? So I'm going up the street, and I was going to go up to LA Fitness Center. That was where I was supposed to stop. So I'm going up there, and I kept like thinking, maybe this isn't a good idea. I've got to just like do something else. So I'm like, stopped short. I didn't go up into that shopping mall. I went to one of the shopping malls down below, which wasn't too far away. And I stopped at, it was Kmart. There was Kmart and Giant Eagle. So I stopped in Kmart and I got a few things, and it didn't take long. It took like minutes, and then I was in line. There was one person in front of me, and they were talking about some emergency, something. There was a shooting at LA Fitness, and I'm like, what's going on? So whenever I got to, it was my turn, and I asked her, I'm like, so what were you saying? There was like a shooting at LA Fitness or something? And the cashier is like, yeah. I'm like, oh, well, when did that happen? I was thinking maybe yesterday or the day before. She's like, it just happened right now, it just happened. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, thank God I didn't go up there, you know, because I don't know who was calling me, why I was supposed to go up there. But thank God I didn't go up there. Maybe I was supposed to save people's lives. I don't know. You know, that's why it's the unknown, and it just freaks me out that I'll never know why I was called. Did a demon call me so I could be shot too? Or was I supposed to save people's lives or what? So there's more to the story though. So you think that's bad? Well, check this out, LA Fitness. And me not being afraid of ghosts or anything, nothing really scares me like that. So I'm like, you know, I don't want to lose money. So I don't know, should I still keep a membership? Should I try to get out of it? So I'm like, well, I'm going to go at least one last time, and then I'll try to get rid of this membership. Because I think maybe they're turning into Bally's or something. So I had to figure that out. So I went, and it wasn't too long after the shooting. I don't remember when. Maybe it was like a week or two or three. But it must not have been too long at all, because there was something there. I went in and I was doing my routine on all the machines like I normally do. And I was down on the lower level. You know, everything's super bright. There's people in there and everything. Not too many. Kind of quiet and everything. But there are people around. Yeah, scarcely. And so I'm working on the one machine. And all of a sudden, a guy comes up to me. And people never come up and flirt with you. Never. Not at LA Fitness. You know, maybe at Bally's, but not at LA Fitness, not this one. So everybody keeps themselves. There's lots of professionals there. So this guy came over and was talking to me. I didn't think anything of it, and I just like, because he just started talking, you know, he's like right there. And I'm like, didn't think anything of it. So I'm like, okay, you know, trying to get rid of him. So I just talked to him a little bit, and they kept talking. And then I get up, and he starts walking to the center. I get off my machine, and I'm walking to the center floor where there's people all around, you know, machines. There's not too many, but there's machines there. There's a few people. So there was somebody behind this guy that I'm talking to. And so he was like he would have been in the line. He was kind of in the line of sight, but the guy was right there. Okay, so I am talking to the guy. And then the guy moves, the guy that was like flirting with me or whatever. And he went to, like, get my number or something later on. I said, oh, maybe we'll see, whatever. So then he, like, starts walking away. The guy behind him is looking at me like I'm crazy. And I'm like, why is he looking at me like I'm crazy? And then I'm like, I see a ghost or something, because I'm used to seeing things. I'm like, maybe he was a ghost. I'm like, oh, my God, maybe he was the shooter. I don't know. So I didn't go over to that guy to ask him why he thought I was crazy, because I'm like, I know what he's going to say. He's going to say there was nobody there. I thought you were talking to me. So I'm like, I'm not going to even ask him. And I had chills. So I'm like, I'm just going to leave. So I left. It was bugging me. So I went online and I looked up the LA Fitness shooting. From August 2009, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Collier Township. And I saw the, what was it, Facebook? He was on Facebook or something. They had his picture and things. And I saw his picture and I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, that's the guy I talked to. I'm like, he is still there. I never went back. Thank you so much for listening.
There you go.
Okay, so my first point of confusion is she was safe at home, and then something tried to get her to leave her house, and she ended up going to Kmart instead. But it was like, was she right? Was something dark trying to get her there? I don't know, but I'm just trying to figure out why it tried to get her to leave her house where she was safe. If she wasn't supposed to be part of the shooting.
I wonder if he got rejected. I mean, what was I have no idea what the history of this story is or the shooting or anything of that nature. He's still there.
To be stuck at a gym for the rest of your mm-hmm. eternity.
I would not want to. I mean, some people love gyms. I'm not one of them.
No.
But
no.
Maybe it was his happy place, though. Maybe, you know, maybe that was where he loved to be.
Maybe. I don't know. I'd rather be stuck at a pizza place.
Do you need an elliptical then at the pizza place to work it off if you're a ghost, or
I'm dead,
are they ghost
stuck,
calories?
If I'm dead and I'm stuck at a pizza place, no. I'm not counting calories anymore.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hi, you are on the air. Let's hear it.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Lisa, and I'm calling from Madison, New Jersey. First off, I just want to say you guys have a great show. I've been listening to it for about 2 years now. First started listening to the show when I would make my drives from work to school. And I found it to be very interesting. But anyways, I wanted to call. I know it's just around Halloween time now. And I wanted to tell a little story about when I was a freshman in high school. I'm 25 now, so this was a couple of years ago. Growing up in New Jersey, there's always been a lot of urban legends. I'm sure you've heard about the Weird New Jersey books, different urban legends coming from different towns, different areas in New Jersey. So me being a naive ninth grader and wanting to explore and have fun with my friends, we decided in around this time when I was a freshman that we would take a trip to one of these areas just to have some, you know, fun and explore what some of these legends were about. So I had a friend who was a senior and he had an old car, and you know, we were happy to get any rides we could and have anyone take us out. So me and a couple of friends, it was four girls and the guy, which drove us in the car. We decided to take a ride down to Flanders, New Jersey, where there's a legend about the hooker man. And the legend goes that in the early 1900s, there was a man that worked on the railroad tracks, and he would work basically the night shifts and carry a lantern, and he would signal the railroad, the train as it would come down the tracks. And legend says that he was hit by the train, and since then, people in the area and people that have gone out to these railroad tracks have seen like lights in the air down the tracks. Now, just to give you some context, the tracks go deep into the woods, so it's just a lonely railroad track that is surrounded by a residential area, but there's an area of the tracks that go deep into the woods. So we decided to pack all in his car and take a drive down to these railroad tracks. Now, when we were planning this, it was more of a joke, you know, fun thing to do, a night out. So we got in his car, drove down, parked, and made sure there was no police officers, and ran as quickly as we could over to the train tracks into the darkness so no cars that were passing by would see us. So we started walking down these train tracks. I think we must have walked maybe like half a mile into the woods, and by this point we were just laughing, joking around, trying to scare each other, and we just thought, you know, it was stupid that we were even wasting our time here and we'd rather just be at a party. But we kept on walking anyways, until we finally, managed to get a glimpse of the lights deep, deep into the woods. We were very freaked out. The trees around us started rustling. We felt as if there was something coming down the tracks. It got really cold, and we started hearing what sounded like footsteps behind us. You know, we thought it was ourselves just playing tricks on each other, but once we saw the lights and we saw the glow, it was like a green glow down in the distance in the darkness of the woods. We really got freaked out. We ran back to our car, and we were just really shaken by it. So I just wanted to call in, give this little story about, you know, urban legends and what you do as a high schooler, being naive and just trying to have fun with your friends. So, you know, I hope you enjoy the story and definitely check out the legend of Flanders, the hooker man. And the reason I also want to call is because it's been like 8 or 9 years since I was there. So I'm actually planning a trip down to the tracks this weekend with my boyfriend and my cousins. So I'm hopeful to see the lights again. It's a phenomenon that's been reported over and over again. So just wanted to call in this little story and see if maybe you or Jenny or other listeners on the show have any urban legends that they've witnessed in their towns. Anyways, have a happy Halloween, and thank you for providing such great content. Bye, guys.
Any urban legends?
Not that I've witnessed, no. But I recently learned of one in our neck of the woods.
What?
It has to do with the train tunnel that's really close by.
Yeah.
And there's like a waving man that people see. Like a man that...
In the tunnel?
Waves at them when they're in the tunnel and they're looking out of the tunnel.
Ooh.
Yeah. I've got to do more research on it to figure out what the story is. But, you know, legend has it that this stretch of railroad track that we're real close to was one of the most expensive railroad tracks laid at the time because of how much they had to dynamite and, you know, build it going up and down hills and stuff. And it was not a safe job to have. So people, you know, obviously
died.
Were hurt or died.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of wanting to know what the story is with him and how many people died when they were blasting that tunnel.
Be interesting.
Yeah.
You want to go walk it at dusk in the fog?
No. Pass. Just because I don't like the idea of a train coming when I'm on the tracks. So.
Yeah, I don't like that either. It'd be interesting if someday if that track was ever abandoned. I hope it is, and I enjoy seeing the train
I don't want go it on to it. Be.
But it would be an interesting walking path if it'd be beautiful.
It would be. It would be. But I hope they keep it going. I'm hoping, you know, the Branson Scenic goes on it.
Mm-hmm.
I would love it if at some point they were able to get their hands on a steam engine and made that their engine for the scenic train.
That'd be neat.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how often you have issues with things like that breaking down.
I don't know. And I don't know how, you know, pollution wise, if there's any way to retrofit it to where it's not just constantly billowing smoke. But like, I think of some of the other famous trains that you can go on that are still steam engines. And I wonder about that.
I wonder what the regulation is, if it's like grandfathered and if it's still been running, never stopped, if it can still, you're okay, but you can't like reintroduce something new. I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, creepy stuff. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Briskies. This is Chloe. I'm calling from Texas. I wanted to tell y'all a story from the time I lived in Louisiana. I have a couple, but I'm basically going to tell y'all the one that happened when I lived in Lafayette, Louisiana at my parents' house while during the summer I was teaching some lessons, and my next door neighbors really wanted me to help them teach their granddaughter. So I was all for it. And my neighbor had weird things happening in her house. And she would tell me about hearing little kids laughing, little kids running around the house. And I didn't believe her. I believe in the paranormal 110%. I'm obsessed with all the shows that you can imagine and listening to y'all's show. But I just couldn't believe her. I'm one of those people that I won't believe it until I see it or hear it or watch a glass fly off. So we were inside after a swim lesson. I was taking a break and getting the little girl some water, and she asked me if her friend could have some. Mind you, there were no friends around. So I said, okay, sure. Just playing along with it, imaginary friends, I'm cool with it. And I poured her some water, and she goes, don't forget my friend. So I poured her a glass for her friend, and I was kind of laughing and just talking to her, like, oh, so who's your friend? What'd she look like? And she goes, she's smaller than me. And I said, oh, okay. And I, like, turned to pretend to talk to this friend like I could see her. And all of a sudden, the glass that I sat in front of her went in front of the friend, went from there to completely across the table. Needless to say, my jaw dropped. I looked at the little girl and was like, we gotta go. And she didn't know what to say. She just thought it was something funny, and she's laughing. I'm having a heart attack. And I pick her up, and she's like, my friend wants to come too. I said, absolutely not. She can stay here. That was only the first thing that ever happened at that house. And the second thing I wanted to talk about was I was taking care of their cats one time when they were gone, and I knew no one was there because they specifically asked me to do it because they were going to be out of town. So I was inside and getting the cat stuff, and all of a sudden I hear laughing. I'm like, oh, here it goes. It's going to be proven to me. And all of a sudden I, like, looked down the hall toward where her son's old rooms were, and I saw three shadows go in and out of two of the rooms. I was like, okay. I kind of ignored it just because I feel like if you show attention to it, it's going to happen in excess. So I just sat there and just like, okay, feeding the cat, getting it out of the laundry room. And of course, every noise I heard made me jump. I got kind of freaked out. And when they got back, this is how I found out about the children in her house. I was like, Miss Tammy, like, I believe you. I saw it. I heard them. And she goes, see, I told you. And she goes, how many did you see? I said, three. She goes, that's about right. She goes, sometimes I see four, but normally there's three little kids. I don't like little kids most of the time. You know, scary movies. They did bad things, disguise themselves as little children to be deceiving. So I didn't really know how to handle that. They still live in the house now, so I'm still kind of wondering if anything happened, but I moved to Texas after I graduated from college, so I haven't really asked anymore because I don't really want to know. And yeah, that's my story. I am probably going to call back with one that actually made my freshman year insane, and the other one from my own house right across the street from where the three little children's spirits are. But thank you for all that y'all do, and I really love the podcast, and I love listening to y'all and y'all's banter. Y'all crack me up, and y'all have total relationship goals. Thank you.
I'm kind of wondering if the little girl she was giving the lessons to, when she said, you know, she had a friend there, if the friend was a shadow child.
Mm-hmm.
Because when she asked, you know, what was the friend look like? She's like, oh, well, she's smaller than me. And that's about all you would be able to tell.
Sure.
It was just a shadow.
And sometimes if you're little, it's just like, that's normal. There's just shadow ghost friends, you know, and you just don't.
That, or you've seen Peter Pan. You don't think it's threatening.
Is there shadows? I don't remember the last time.
Peter Pan's shadow gets away and has a mind of its own. And then they have to sew his shadow back onto his feet.
I wonder if I've actually ever seen Peter Pan. I've seen Hook.
I'm talking about the cartoon animated Disney one.
Okay, yeah, I don't think I've ever actually seen it.
Yeah, if you've seen it as a child, you would not be afraid of shadows.
There you go.
So who knows?
That's the thing to do.
What?
Shadow people in your house? Watch the animated Peter Pan. Makes all better. Makes everything better.
Try and sew it back to your feet.
Who needs sage when you have
Peter Pan
cartoons?
Right.
855-853-4802, our number.
Hey, hi, guys. It's Christina from Atlanta again. I was calling. A lot of stuff's been happening. It started with the shower ghost and just keeps escalating. Now, my six-year-old is hearing people talking in her room at night, and she says that she hears footsteps, and it's like someone's running up to her bed, and she doesn't, like, she knows that I believe in this stuff, you know, I believe in ghosts and spirit, all this stuff, she knows that, but she never, you know, like, six-year-olds, I mean, I don't know if your kids are any different, but Amelia, she doesn't get into stuff like that, she doesn't even think about that kind of stuff. And now she's, like, scared to death to go to bed at night, and it breaks my heart, because it's like, what do I do? Like, I let her sleep with the light on last night, and I cleansed the house last night, of course, I smudged it, and I don't know, my friend brought me, and, you know, I didn't even think about this until just now, my friend bought me, this, it's supposed to protect you. She got it from a voodoo shop in New Orleans, but I'm wondering if that is bringing bad juju to my house, or making the activity hype and, like, get worse, because before it was just the shower ghost and this and that, but now it's, I saw a lady in white. In your TV, how you could see the reflection in your flat screen TV? That's where I saw it. I didn't see it in the mirror. I saw it in the reflection of my TV. It scared the living shit out of me, and I ran out to the living room where my fiance was and was like, hey, this happened. And I've been hearing these two women talking to each other. And then, you know, that was 3 days ago that I heard the two women talking in the bathroom. That was last night when I saw the lady in white with the TV, just, like, walked right by. And then my daughter's saying this is happening, and it happened to her two nights in a row with someone walking up and someone running up to her bed. So I don't know what to do. I smudged the house, but I don't know if that those ingredients I can't remember what it is, but it's to bring protection over your house, that my friend brought me from New Orleans. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it, or I don't know what, but I need advice somewhat or something. Anyone of the listeners, what should I do? It's a rental house. So if it's like, I mean, it's not like we're getting scratched at or, you know, hair pulling or anything like that. It's just like little things here and there, but they're kind of creepy, you know? So I don't know. See, I was okay with it and everything until it started bothering my kid. And now, but then again, I'm a sensitive and I've never really tapped into that, like, on a real level, tried to just ignore it. So maybe I should, I don't know what to do. That's why I'm calling you guys. Sorry, I'm just ranting, but help me out, guys. I love you guys. I was an EPB member, but then my financial troubles, you know, but as soon as that gets over, which should be Friday, I will have my EPB membership again, and it will be all good. But yeah, I love you guys so much. Thank you for this outlet. Seriously, y'all are the best.
I guess I wouldn't bring anything into my house, even if it's a gift from a friend, that has anything to do with protecting, not protecting, anything to do with stirring of spirits, without really knowing what it is. Because it sounds like she doesn't really have a grasp. It's like, my friend said it was this, but I don't know. It could be, you know.
And if things have significantly picked up and changed since this was brought in, I would be suspicious that it has something to do with that. Whether or not it was supposed to protect, just the fact that it's supposed to do something could be enough to stir stuff up.
I think anytime you're stirring things up, whether it be even peaceful things like smudging or this or that, I think you run the risk of it's being stirred up.
Or backfiring.
And backfiring. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I wouldn't be doing that, you know, to the point of, you know, just because, mm-hmm. As like preventative maintenance, because I don't think that it's always preventative. I think that sometimes makes things happen a little more frequent than it otherwise would be.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if the pot has just been stirred so much. I get rid of whatever that thing is your friend gave you. It clearly isn't protecting you. It's not doing much. And if it has something, worst case, it'll, you know, you threw something away, but it doesn't seem to be doing much good.
Right. And, you know, I would just keep kind of going backwards from what you've started mm-hmm. to try and get back to where it was just the shower ghost, because it sounded like that's always been there.
Yeah.
That was manageable.
Mm-hmm.
So first thing I would do is get rid of that. And then if there's anything else that's, you know, somewhat spiritual or meant to somehow communicate or not communicate with the spirits as mm-hmm. far as keeping them at bay or anything like that, you know, take one thing out at a time
yeah.
until you get back to the desired results.
Exactly. Or I think one of the things that I think there's other folks who might be listening to this going, oh, you are so lucky. This is a rental house.
True.
There is a point where you can get out of it without enormous financial insanity because you own the house and now good luck getting out of it or whatnot. It's rent means it, you can end it at some point.
Yeah.
So yeah. If none of that works, mm-hmm. that may be the next step to take is just find another place. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey guys. I'm an actual new listener. I've been listening for about a week or two. But I had an interest in the paranormal in general for years and, you know, just kind of the what if stories in general and keeping an open mind with things. And, I really feel like a lot of that stemmed off of what I had experienced when I was young, and keeping an open mind to, you know, all these things after, you know, again, having the experience I did. I was about 4 or 5 years old, and my godfather, my Uncle Dave, he was the best. I don't remember a lot from my childhood, but I do remember very specific stories with him. You know, I remember the Jurassic Park truck he bought me for my 4th birthday and linking the trailer to it while I played in the kitchen and rolling it at his feet. I remember him, you know, building my Power Ranger. Again, my parents confirmed for me at an extremely young age. But at age 6, my Uncle Dave unfortunately passed away in a terrible accident with construction. About 5,000 pounds of stairway had fallen on him, and the sad part was is it didn't even kill him right away. It was terrible. This was beyond hard on our family. My dad's best friend, and my dad didn't have a really easy, good upbringing. And I remember him being absolutely defeated, and I remember me being at daycare, just even that young, I still remember sensing something very wrong. So, I mean, like I said, this was a really tough time on the family. It was my dad's best friend. This is the guy that would let my dad sleep on his couch when his own father would kick him out. So it was just that type of, you know, brotherhood, and he was gone. We had a picture of my Uncle Dave when he came in the backyard and during a picnic, and he was in a suit and he had that smile on his face, those rosy cheeks like we knew him best, and that picture hangs in our living room. And one day after, you know, sometime after he had passed, actually, we had been walking by that photo and, you know, my dad stopped and he looked like he had just seen a ghost, just completely flushed face. And I remember it because he scared me, because I wasn't used to my father ever looking scared. And we looked into the photo, and I have the photo to this day. I still have. I would be more than happy to share it if it was something that was asked. In both bottom corners, it looks very specifically, not kind of, sort of, but very specifically like two angels. And dead center in the middle, not kind of, sort of, but very specifically looks like a gate. And it just clicked in our heads as exactly that. It just seemed like the angels and you know, a gateway, and gave us that like peaceful, amazing feeling. Gives me chills talking about it, because I've never talked about it, and I just don't know why, but yours both seems like a good, you know, opportunity to tell the story. So I really greatly appreciate you guys giving me the space to do that. Like I said, this was a good one, you know, but absolutely incredible and unexplainable. Thanks again. Keep doing what you're doing. I'm a big fan, and hopefully use my story. Thank you.
I think sometimes, you know, from the other side, they just manipulate what they can to let you know they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of purposely do it in a subtle way so that you're not startled.
Yeah, I think the thoughtful ones do.
Yeah, so it was just kind of, I'm going to alter this picture. They're going to catch it at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll know I'm okay.
Yeah, rather than I'm going to make the cat fly across the room and then they'll know I'm okay.
I can't think of anybody that would make a cat fly across the room and be like, oh, they're okay. They're on the other side and just fine.
Me. I would.
You would not. You don't.
I would hope for that. But
you don't harm animals.
I wouldn't harm the animal. It would literally float, like fly, like the cat's hovering, and then back down.
Yeah, that's comforting, honey.
I don't know that they would connect the dots, though. I don't know that they'd be like, oh, that's just dad.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No.
Don't
do that one. If you have the opportunity to do stuff, mm-hmm. unless that's the only thing you can do, don't do that one.
Okay. But now it's on record saying I may do that. So
if you float my cat, I'm going to freak out.
My God, the cat's just like weightless. Look at that thing. You could do some really fun things with our cat because it's like a ragdoll cat. So
he just lets you do whatever.
It's like, whatever. Oh, this is fun.
Yeah. You know? He's so sweet.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the program, keep us on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person. Sign up on our website at ghostpodcast.com. Get all the bonus episodes of the show and a whole lot more keeping us on the air. It all starts over there at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.